Like many of you, I certainly enjoyed watching the Summer Olympics, and I really enjoyed watching the women's gymnastic. They were amazing. We knew them as the Final Five, and we called them all by their first names. Simone, and Allie, Gabby, Laurie, Madison. All you had to do was speak a first name, and we knew exactly who we were talking about. They were stars, and we all enjoyed watching. But as I was watching the Olympics and I watched these women gymnasts, I couldn't help but think about 40 years before. 1976, Nadia. Nadia Comaneci. It turned out that she was amazing and turned the sport upside down. She stood all of 4'11", 86 pounds. She was from Romania. And it was on July the 18th, 1976, she went out and she was performing on the uneven bars. And she was so smooth, so graceful. I mean, she literally looked like she could fly. And then she stuck that landing. I remember very well, the scoreboard came up and it showed 1.00. And everybody was stunned. What in the world? In those days, the scoring was different from today. It changed about 10 years ago. But in those days, the scoring was 1 to 10, 10 being perfect. You started with a 10, and then you had all the deducts from mistakes you made, and they would subtract it and give you a score. She had just had this phenomenal routine, and it comes up 1. The problem was that the scoring board itself was designed for 3 numbers. It wasn't designed for 4, because they know no one would ever score a 10, but Nadia just did. And when word was announced that she was given a 10, a perfect score, the crowd went wild. It was the first time in history that a gymnast scored a perfect 10. She was amazing. It turned out that she would score 6 more 10s in that Olympics. She would win the gold in the uneven bars on the beam and as well as being on the all-around. It was an incredibly successful moment for her, and it was a game-changing moment for her sport. The next week on Time, Newsweek, Sports Illustrated, Nadia's picture was on the front of all 3 the same week. Literally. People around the world were talking about Nadia Comaneci, perfection, this little Romanian girl who came out and stunned the world. She would elevate the idea of what women athletes could do. Now, you remember we looked a few weeks ago at Catherine Switzer. In the 1970s, Catherine Switzer was still having to lobby to get women to be able to run the 5,000-meter, 10,000-meter, and marathon. Women were in a period of transition, and when Nadia went out and scored as she did, it raised the expectation of female athletes. It brought national attention to women's gymnastics. It was a game changer. What Nadia had no idea was how it was a game changer for her life. She left the games and she went back home to Romania. It was ruled by a ruthless dictator. It was a communist country. She came back home and everybody around the world started talking, we know that she's going to live so well. That in the end she'll have a palace and cars and money and jewelry. That's what was rumored around the world, and none of it was true. Things were a little bit better than before the Olympics. Before the Olympics, her family didn't have enough money to always heat the house in wintertime, and they sometimes slept together on the kitchen floor to stay warm. Now they had a little bit more money and to have a roof over their head and some heating and a little more to eat. It was still poor and tough. She went back to the 1980 Olympics, again, more medals. In 1981, she came to the United States on a goodwill tour. She traveled around, and it was during that tour that her coach, Bella Caroli, and his wife, Marta, defected to the U.S. Life was suddenly great for them, but it made it really tough on Nadia. When she got back home to Romania, they really ratcheted up the security. Nadia would no longer be allowed to travel outside the country. They could not take a chance on the idea of someone this iconic, this famous, again leaving the country. She couldn't leave the country. Someone sat outside her door 24/7, 365. Constant security. If she left to go get a cup of coffee, the secret police followed her. Her room was bugged. People were with her all the time, and it just became unbearable. So much so that in 1989, she had reached her limit and made the decision that she was willing to risk her life to defect. Through the help of other people, that fall she managed to slip out one night and begin walking through Romania and then continuing to travel each day, finally to Hungary and then to Austria. She applied for asylum in the United States and she came to the United States. She found a Romanian family in Canada who was willing to take her in. She really didn't know people. She had nowhere to turn. This family took her in and let her come and live with the family. Now, when you're in your late 20s and you've lived your whole life under a communist regime, told exactly what you have to do, when you have to do it, and now to be free, it's kind of hard to figure out exactly who you are and what do you want to do. She was there with this family when the father in the family was killed in a tragic boating accident. And when that happened, Nadia felt she could not stay on with this family who was in grief and be a burden to them. And so it was she now found herself looking around this free world. Where do I go? And she called the one person she'd become a friend with and knew, and that was Bart Connor. She had met Bart in 1976 at the Olympics. She saw him again in 1981 and when they traveled around the United States. He had interviewed her. They had continued to visit. When she called him, he immediately said, "Come to Norman, Oklahoma." And so she came. Bart called the gymnastics coach at OU and asked, "Could Nadia come live with you and your family?" And he said, "Yes." And so she came to Norman. They became very good friends, and then their relationship began to develop. They began to date, and in 1996, they were married. 20 years after that game-changing performance, they were married in Romania. They now have a son. And you know, 40 years now, 40 years after Nadia Comăneci scored that perfect 10, after she had this game-changing moment for her sport, her fame has not died. No, she is still recognized as an icon in the sport. She is still sought after. But what I love about her is that she has learned how to use that stature, that fame, to parlay that into being able to do good things for so many people. She's extremely committed to working with Special Olympics. She started a children's clinic for health in Romania, to Jerry Lewis Telethon and muscular dystrophy, to getting scholarships to colleges for people who do gymnastics, and on and on and on. Now, she's someone who truly is wanting to give back to the world. Her life had been difficult. She hadn't forgotten that. She had a game-changing moment. And now she wants to be a game changer for so many. This morning, I want to continue on with this sermon series, Game Changers. You know, we've said that sport is so big in our country. It's an important part of who we are, our culture. Sport is a part of our world culture. And we said, wouldn't it be fun to look at those athletes who truly changed their sport and also helped to change their world? And then we said it'd be nice each week to look at a Bible character who is a game changer and to see what they could teach us so that through our faith, God can use each of us, ordinary, normal people, to be game changers too. And so this morning, what I wanted us to do is to look at our scripture that we found in the book of Judges. Now, I just have to tell you right up front, this is not a good bedtime story for your children. The story is all about what happens in Israel before there are kings. We know there will be King Saul, King David, and there will be King Solomon. We think of the kings. Before the kings, it was the time of the judges. The Bible said every person did what was right in their own eyes. And then Israel would get oppressed, and life would be hard, and God would raise up a judge who would form an army, go fight the enemy, and the land would have peace. I mean, you'll remember judges like Gideon and Samson. Well, the judge today in our story is Deborah. Deborah was not the type of judge who formed armies. She was an arbitrator. She sat under a tree. People brought her disputes. She settled their cases. But God came to Deborah and said, call Barak and ask Barak to form an army and go fight the Canaanites. You see, the Canaanites lived in this land along with the people of Israel, and the Canaanites had grown strong. And the Bible says the general, Sisera, had 900 chariots of iron. It tells us that many times to make a point. The Canaanites were more developed. They had iron. The people of Israel did not. And if you had chariots of iron, it wasn't too hard to harass and make other people's lives miserable. For 20 years, the Canaanites and General Sisera had made Israel's life miserable. And so God said, Deborah, tell Barak to raise up an army and to go fight the Canaanites. And when she called him, Barak said, I will go if you'll go with me. If you don't go with me, I'm not going. And Deborah said, I will go with you. But you need to understand, you will not get the glory. The glory will go to a woman. Now that had to be tough to hear. You're being asked to go fight the Canaanites in these chariots of iron. How difficult is this going to be? And you're saying that in the end, if we win, I don't get the glory? Barak called the troops together. 10,000 people showed up. And when Sisera heard that he had called out of troops, he got in his 900 chariots of iron, and they came out to meet the people of Israel. And there was a great battle, and God gave the Canaanites into the hand of Barak. They routed the Canaanites. It was Sisera who jumped off of his chariot and began to flee for safety. In the end, he was on foot, he was exhausted, he's running, when he came across an encampment, a tent. The tent, there in the tent, was a woman named Jael. Now, Jael was a Kenite. The tribe, the Kenites, were the tribe of Moses' brother-in-law. Their tribe was the Kenites. And so they had an affiliation with the people of Israel. But at the same time, the Kenites had made peace with the Canaanites. And so here was Jael in her tent, and along comes General Sisera, and he is looking for a place to hide. He is exhausted, and he sees her and says, can I come in and hide? And she says, absolutely. Come right on in, and we'll hide you under the rugs. We'll let you hide under the rugs. And he said, if anyone comes asking for me, tell me you hadn't seen me. All right. I'm thirsty. Do you have any water? And it says she brought him milk or curds. You need to understand what's going on here. He's thirsty and wants water, but she brings him like hot milk and hot chocolate chip cookies. It's the kind of thing you give to somebody if you're helping them to go to sleep. A bedtime drink. I'm not going to give you water. I'll give you warm milk and chocolate chip cookies. And so he drinks the milk. He has something to eat. He curls up under the rugs. She's standing at the door. Now, women were not trained on how to fight with swords. But women were trained how do you put up tents. And so Jael went and got a tent peg and a mallet and came back to Sisera, who was now sound asleep. and she drove the tent peg through his temple and nailed his head to the ground. That was the end of Sisera. As I said, this isn't a bedtime story for your children here now. No, she killed the general. And along came Barak and was able to see that she had killed the general, and she got the glory for having defeated the Canaanites. In the end, the people of Israel had freed themselves from the oppression of the Canaanites. And the Bible says, and peace came to the land for 40 years. It was a game-changing moment for Israel. So what do we learn from the story? What does it tell us? I think two important things. One, it tells us it took all three. It took Deborah. It took Barak. It took Jael. Three individuals, all giving their unique contribution in order to be used by God to free Israel from oppression and bring peace to the land. It took all three. When you and I look at our own lives and we think about the game-changing moments in our lives, we're able to look and find people who have blessed us. And it's always going to be a variety of people who did different things for you. People who had different talents and gifts who opened a door for you. You'll look back and see different people with different gifts who in the end opened a door and blessed your life and gave you a game-changing moment. As I was going back and studying all of the women who had been a part of our Final Five and Olympic team, you know, I found Simone Biles' story so very fascinating. Simone Biles, you will remember, her mother was struggling with drugs and alcohol when she was a baby. So much so that in the end, she could not take care of Simone and her sister. And in the end, they were put into foster care. When they were put into foster care, they continued to pursue legal avenues. And finally, she had to waive all parental rights. And when she did that, it was her father, the grandfather of Simone, and his new wife, Nellie, who decided to adopt Simone and her sister. So it was the grandparents who took the two children, the two girls, in. It's the only family she's ever known. So she calls her grandfather and grandmother calls them mom and dad. She said, they're mom and dad. It's the only people that I've ever known in those roles. But they took them and they raised the girls. And it's when Simone was just 6 years old, she was on a field trip with her day school, and they went to a gym. And she saw these older kids performing all these gymnastics and these activities, and she was so impressed. When she got home, she started jumping off the couch and jumping off the bed and trying to imitate these older kids she had just seen. Well, Nellie saw her passion for this, her mother, and so in the end, she got her enrolled in a gymnastic school when she was about 8 years old. It turned out that her coach would be a lady named Amy Borman. Now, Amy years ago had hoped to be an Olympian, but it never worked out for her. But she knew she could be a coach. And so here she was at this specific gym, and it just so happened that Simone came along. And she began to coach her when she was 8 years old. And Amy would stay with her for these next 10 years, all the way up to today. Coaching some way in a new way. She had never coached Olympians before, but she was there to work with Simone and to keep her grounded. And Simone said, she became like a second mother to me. They could talk about anything and all the things that mattered, like in the eighth grade, when Simone had to make a big choice. She was so good. And the question was, are you going to go to the U.S. training camp, the Caroli training camp? And if you do, then that means you're not going to be able to go to public high school. It means you have to be homeschooled. And you'll go live at this camp, and you'll practice 8 hours a day, 6 days a week at least. There will be no prom. There will be no homecoming. There will be no dating. No, this will become your life. And Amy said, do you understand you don't have to do this? We can get you a scholarship to a great college. You'll become famous in college. And Simone said, no. No, I want to do this. And so she went right outside Huntsville, Texas, to the Caroli training camp. And there she would work those next 4 years so hard. And you know, we watched Simone Biles go out there in this Olympics, and she was amazing, winning gold medal after gold medal and team medals and individual all around. Such success. But I look at all that happened for her and I think, what if she hadn't had a grandmother and grandfather decide to take her in? What would have happened to her life? If she hadn't met Amy Borman, someone who was willing to say, I'll continue to coach you through all of your years. Or Marta Caroli, will spend these next 4 years making you an Olympic champion. No, there's always these individuals who come in our lives and they offer different things that help to change our lives and give us grace moments. And what I pray is when you and I come on a Sunday morning to worship, I hope we'll take the time to grow still and remember the gift of God's grace that has changed our lives. We remember those who have blessed us in their own unique ways and changed our lives. And then be so filled with gratitude that we understand we all have a gift to offer someone else. We all have our own unique gift that we can offer to bless the life of another, just like somebody else did for us. You know, it was about 2 weeks ago, our El Sistema kids headed off to OU for the football game. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. If you're new, you may not know about our El Sistema after-school program. We have 220 kids from third grade through ninth grade. They get together 5 days a week. They learn how to play classical instruments, and they've formed an orchestra. It's been an amazing experience in their life, both in the talent they've learned, but as well as how it's affected their overall life in school. Well, they got the opportunity. They were invited to come down to OU and to play at halftime in the K-State football game. And understand, our kids have not gone to football games. They've never been to a college football game. Their parents, who also went, had never been. I mean, this was a big deal. And we had all 200 kids plus lined up in the visitor tunnel, and they were waiting to come onto the field when halftime came. And finally it came, and the K-State players came up the tunnel. I mean, here were these big guys dressed in their uniforms, these football players. And as they came up the tunnel, all the kids started clapping and cheering. Yay! One of the sponsors spoke up and said, that's the wrong team. But one of the girls spoke up and said, no, it's not. We're all on the same team. Well, maybe not in football. But it's what she had been taught day in and day out. What she was hearing day in and day out is we're one team. And the flutes, they also need the double bass. And you're going to have the trumpets, but they're also going to need the drums. That we're all one team. And nobody is more special than somebody else. We all have different things to contribute. And when we all contribute together, then we will make beautiful music. We're all on the same team. I believe that as a family of faith, what we've come to understand is we are all on the same team with a common goal to share God's love and bring hope to the world. And that God needs every person who has that gift that is unique to you in order to be able to bless life and bring peace. God needed Deborah and Barak and Jael. And God needs you and me with all of our unique individual gifts together. We're on the same team. And when we understand that, we can change the world. We're game changers. But secondly, if you don't care who gets the glory, a lot of people can be helped. Be it ever to Barak's credit, it didn't have to feel good when Deborah said, I need you to raise an army and go fight 900 chariots of iron. And by the way, if you win, you don't get the glory. And what did Barak do? He said, okay, I'll do the right thing, even though I don't get the glory. I pray that when you and I come together at Sunday mornings, we come together to worship and know God's grace and be filled with a spirit of gratitude for all who have blessed our lives and know the right thing. It's not about getting the glory. It's about going out and blessing life, using the gifts that we have. It's one of the fascinating things. I did look at the final five, our women gymnasts there in Rio. And you know, they were all so amazing. But there is no doubt that Simone Biles, well, she was just incredible. She was above all. And you kind of wondered, how's that going to be on this team when we're all around here and you have Allie and you got Gabby who starred in last Olympics. And now they're the old ladies on the team at 22. They're the old ladies on the team and you got this new young star. You know, how are they going to feel? And boy, the press tried to bait that all the time. So how do you feel about all the glory? They never went there. And Simone Biles always kept saying, look, it's team first that matters. It's team first that matters. When Allie does something great and Gabby does something great, that inspires me to be my best. No, the five of them never would go there that there's some problem. What they realized was it's hard to win team gold individually. We all need each other to give what our gift is and our best and together. That's why we are here. No, they didn't care about who got the glory. When I started studying about Nadia Comaneci, what an amazing lady. Nadia and Simone, you know, they've experienced glory like you and I will never know. When Nadia came back home to Romania after the 76 Olympics, she was so celebrated. It really surprised her. She had no idea what that moment would truly mean to her life. She did finally defect. She could not take the communist dictator anymore. But now after being home and now falling in love with Bart, and in 1996 they wanted to get married, and she wanted him to go home to Romania to see her country that she loved so much. And Bart wanted to go back to Romania so that he could meet her father for the first time and ask for her hand in marriage to do it the right way. And so in 1996 they flew back to Romania, and really she didn't expect anybody to know other than family or to care. She was afraid of all the other people who would know how she had defected, and maybe they would look at her askance and be critical of her. But when she landed, what they discovered was there were thousands of people there. Thousands of people with all these flowers, and they were shouting, Nadia. It was a hero come home. Everybody wanted to be near Nadia. Everybody wanted to welcome her back. It had been 20 years since she scored that perfect 10. She went to stay with her mother and some family, but then they wanted to go to her father, who was about 4 hours away. The drive took 9 hours. Because every time they came to a little town, people were standing in the streets with flowers for Nadia. And every mayor of that little village wanted to meet her and Bart and have a champagne toast. It took them 9 hours to get all the way to where her father was. The president wanted to meet her. He was there, and he said, why don't you get married here in Romania? And it was Bart who immediately agreed. Nadia was shocked. She'd never thought about such a thing. But he said, absolutely, we must get married here. And so it was that the president and his wife, they planned the wedding, and it was like something out of a fairy tale. With all the guests at the presidential palace and a little girl gymnast who would be carrying the train. No, she understands glory, fame. But now as an adult, she understands what it means. And how to use that in order to be a game changer for others. It's not about the glory. It's not about the fame or the status. It's about being able to be who you are and offer your gifts to bless life. Life had been very difficult for Nadia. It is different now. But I want to read you what she had to say. There have been many moments when I thought I was so jaded, nothing could ever surprise or delight me again. I am so fortunate that I was wrong. I feel as if I've lived the joy of 1,000 lives. The difficulties seem like moments that barely touch the hours, days, and years of good times. And I never forget, I need to share my good fortune with others. I could list all the charities I help and the other work I do, but that would take away from the reason I do it all in the first place. It's not for acclaim or for medals. It's because I want to give back. I've discovered that doing for others is much more fulfilling than standing alone on a podium while crowds cheer your individual accomplishments. I am part of a bigger plan now. And joining hands with people from around the globe who understand that giving and sharing can change the world is exactly where I choose to be. Where do you choose to be? God can use you to be a game changer. It's in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let each of us lift up our own silent prayer.